Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly.
Kia ora and welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrick and today we're kicking off with something a little special, our brand new island series. Over the next few episodes, we'll be hopping around the islands of Aotearoa's coast to meet the distillers crafting bold, beautiful spirits in some of the country's most remote and magical places. We're starting off in the deep south and on Rakiora, also known as Stewart Island, where nature rules, the weather has the final say, and the locals know how to make the best of both. Our guest today is Ben Hopkins from Rakiora Distilling Co., New Zealand's most southern distillery and the team behind the award-winning Third Island Gin. If you've ever wondered what a wild soul and an island might taste like in a glass, you're in the right place. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, Susie. It's nice to be on the show.
Thank you. Now, Ben, let's rewind the tape. What was life like for you before Rakiora Distilling, and were you working in spirits or something completely different?
Actually, something completely different. I was a merchant seafarer for 20 years. So I started out as an officer on oil and gas tankers all over the world, and then was on to rig support vessels, and then ultimately the research vessel Tangaroa for Niwa. So it's been a bit of a varied career and something not at all like gin distilling.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is very different. Now, are you a born and bred Stewart Islander, or did something else draw you to Rakiora from elsewhere?
No, I'm about the sixth generation to live here on the island, so my family's pretty much part of the furniture here now.
Wow. Okay. So thinking back, was there a moment or a series of moments when you said, right, I'm going to start a distillery here?
Well, it was about when distilleries started sort of popping up all over the country, really. I thought one would probably do okay on the island, but because I never had any idea of how to make gin or how to even sell it, so I never took it too seriously. And I was definitely a consumer rather than a producer.
Right. And so then tell us the story. How did Rakiora Distilling come to life? What lit the spark, and how did you assemble your team?
Well, we had a young chap, Dave Patterson from the US, who was living on the island, and during lockdown he took his little hobby still and produced what we all thought was a magic gin using local botanicals that he'd foraged for. Mm-hmm. And so he spent lockdown perfecting that, and then I heard that he was going to take it commercial, so start a distillery. And then we thought, oh, that's great, at least someone's going to do it. And didn't matter who, just as long as it was happening. And then but then we heard a rumor that he was leaving, so I thought, rightio. So my friend Jim Turrell and I approached him and said, look, how about we all work together and we take this into a commercial operation. And so we managed to convince him to stay, and we got all the gear and spent 2 years during the lockdown, famous supply shortages and everything, and managed to build a distillery and get cracking.
Wow. Okay. So Stewart Island's got a raw, rugged magic. How did that sense of place inspire you and your choice of botanicals?
Well, I guess it's all about the bush, really. The bush over here, especially after it rains, has such a fantastic aroma. It's we've sort of really tried to capture that and then put that into a drink, really, into Third Island Gin. So we use Manuka, Rimu and Horopito, but it's really the Manuka and the Rimu that just give it that real bush aroma. But as as well as the flavour. It's really carried through into that flavour, and the horopito just gives it a really nice kick at the end. Sort of a nice peppery kick, but yeah, that's definitely just about capturing that really fresh bush smell that you get into a drink.
Okay, so you're based in a remote location on an island in the bottom of New Zealand. Freight, weather, power. What island-specific challenges surprised you the most in setting up a distillery?
I don't think we were really surprised by anything. We were fully expecting all of the challenges that came our way, and we were proven correct in just about all of them, actually. Freight would have to be our biggest killer, because everything we get usually has to come from probably the North Island. So it comes all the way to Bluff, then we have to get it across here. We then produce it, bottle it, label it and everything, and then we have to ship it all back out again. So even just meeting the courier in Bluff twice a week is a logistical challenge. It just there's a lot of moving parts, put it that way, especially with the weather, and you're at the mercy of so many different freight operations. It takes a bit of coordinating. But that's the freight side of it's like that. Then electricity is incredibly expensive here, which is why we use gas to fire the still, which I don't know of anyone else doing that. But even just things like getting inspectors across to the island for routine inspections, your council inspections, that sort of thing, that's they've got to fly across, and then you're paying for their airfares and their time, and we usually try and share that kind of thing with other businesses so that we're spreading the costs around a bit more.
Well, how do you get to the island? Is there a ferry, obviously? How long does it take?
Yeah, there's two ways of getting here. There's the ferry, which takes an hour, that comes from Bluff, and there's the plane, which takes about 20 minutes and comes directly from Invercargill Airport. So there's plenty of options. In the summer, there's the regular connections just about hourly with the plane, but through the winter it's a bit quieter. You have 3 return flights a day and 2 return ferries.
Oh, okay, so the ferry is a daily thing.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So on the flip side, are there any hidden island benefits? You've got your artisan branding, water purity, community support that's helped you thrive?
Yeah, I've always said I wouldn't do this anywhere else. That's with the island sort of, it really helps us along, and it's clean, green image. It's part of our brand, and the community is also right behind us. It's a pretty small community. There's only sort of 400 odd people live here permanently, but they're great brand ambassadors, and it also makes it easy to claim that we're the southernmost distillery in the country when you can't get much further south in the country than Stewart Island. So that works well.
Exactly. Now, Rakiura National Park covers 85% of the island, and Kiwis roam free. How does living in such close connection to that environment shape your sort of daily rhythm and operations?
I'm not sure it really shapes our rhythm so much, but we certainly, it's easy to take it for granted over here, because it's nothing to be woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning by a Kiwi squawking outside your bedroom window or something like that. And we've even had Kiwi prints in the mud outside the distillery some mornings when you come down there. So they're all about the township. And even certain times of year, the bird song is just about deafening over here, particularly and amongst the community where there's a lot of trapping and pest control that goes on. So it really is quite special. But we certainly, we do get quite used to it. As much as probably someone who comes in from the outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned New Zealand's most southern distillery. I've always wanted to ask you, are you possibly the world's most southern distillery?
Unfortunately not, no. There's a distillery in Chile, I forget its name now, but they take the title of the world's southernmost anyway.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, so we'll just have to contend with being the country's southernmost for now.
Southernmost distillery. Okay, now you've expanded beyond your original flagship gin with a vodka and a navy strength gin now in the mix. What sets your spirits apart, and how do your spirits reflect the Rakiura landscape in their own right?
Well, we launched the Navy Strength probably about a year after the Third Island, and it does use the same botanicals, but we just altered the proportion slightly, I suppose. And it being a higher alcohol content, that really interacts differently with those botanicals. It produces a much bolder gin, so it's basically a bushwalk on steroids, really, compared to the flagship one. we like to joke, and it's best enjoyed sitting down, that one. The ABV is 57.4%, so that's yeah, not for the faint-hearted. No. The vodka one, that's slightly different. None of us are actually vodka drinkers, but I have to admit, ours is quite smooth and drinkable. We do filter it through crushed up oyster mussel and power shells before we put it through the carbon, and it just gives it a bit of minerality, and it's a really nice smooth mouthfeel. So even I've decided it's actually quite drinkable, and I'm a gin drinker.
How do you drink your vodka then, if you're not a vodka drinker?
Well, like I said, I don't really drink it. I'll taste it, and it's a really sipping vodka, as opposed to something you mix with cranberry juice and carry on.
Now, I've read that you run your pot still over open flame, much like the old school moonshiners. What's the story behind that approach, and how does that shape the flavour?
It's more because when Dave started distilling, he started on a little 30-litre pot still, basically a small version of what we have now. So we decided, well, it works well on that. Why not we scale it up? So we got the big 400-litre still made in Portugal and shipped out. And we named it Harold after my grandfather, who enjoyed a gin. but, using the open flame, I'm not sure. I can't really compare it to any other style because that's all we've ever used. We don't, so I'm not sure how it actually alters the flavour in any sense. But it's and bear in mind, I'm not the actual head distiller here. I'm not really involved in the nitty gritty too much either. But the other main consideration with it is because the cost of electricity is so high here, we do have to factor that in. And the use of an open flame from gas is actually more cost effective for us.
Right. Now, we know that to make great spirits, you need to have outstanding water. Your water comes straight from the Southern Ocean rainfall. What difference does that pristine water make to your gin and vodka, and how do you collect it?
We, for a start, we don't have a reticulated supply on Stewart Island, so there's no treatment. So we just collect the water off the roof of the distillery, really, and it goes into water tanks. We use just a double filter system and UV treatment for that. So there's no added chemicals, no chlorine or anything like that goes into it. It's a very soft water as well. So I think that really helps and contributes to the smoothness of of both the gin and the vodka.
It does. It's certainly, because your gin is very, it is soft. And
you can drink it quite easily, just straight. And I think that's to do with the water, really. It's,
yes, I've got a bottle going myself at the moment. And I've run out of tonic. So, yes, I have to have it a little bit neat. Now, Third Island Gin has picked up a gold at the Junipers and also Best Contemporary Style Gin at the 2025 World Gin Awards. That's a massive achievement. Congratulations. How did that recognition affect your vision for the distillery?
I'm not sure it really affects our vision as such, and except for when we're probably celebrating a bit hard, but we're really pleased and humbled by the recognition, actually, and it's... for both our flagship Third Island Gin, which has picked up a couple of golds, but also the Navy, which has it's picked up Best in Show in two different competitions now. So we're very, very pleased with that. But it's we're just chuffed at our little distillery because it's sort of up there on the stage with so many world class products. Really, it's I guess it just inspires us to keep producing the best spirits that we can. I guess
Wow. Okay. So as Islanders, you've embraced a micro operation model and even pledged some profits into conservation. How important is protecting Rakiura's unique environment to you?
Well, it's hugely important. It's important to all islanders, no matter what you do. People come here for the nature and just, you know, getting away from it all. But we like to do a bit where we can. We sponsor the little trust here, the Stewart Island Rakiura Community Environment Trust, which does a fantastic job trapping pests. Yeah, they're trapping pests, and they try and eradicate weeds that have escaped from people's gardens and that sort of thing. So, you know, they do a lot of work, and it's all sort of on a volunteer basis. So the more contributions they can get from businesses, the better, really. But, we just do a bit where we can.
Great. Now, you've ticked off gin and vodka and your conservation pledges. What's next on the horizon? Any other sort of spirits, collaborations, events, or anything else you can share with us?
There's something to be said for probably sticking to your knitting, really. We've got the three products that we're quite pleased with, and we're just sort of concentrating on keeping those going as best we can at this stage. We've got a couple of ideas for things for down the future, but we're pretty restricted on space where we are, so you can't have too much the product lines on the go, because we just haven't got room to do it. So we'll just see what happens, and we occasionally get off to the mainland for events and shows and that sort of thing, but it's a bit of a coordination effort, that one.
Of course, with going to any events hard enough by the time you ship everything, but I can imagine, again, there's that extra level of complexity being all the way down there. Now, finally, it's the end of the working week. What's your go-to drink from the distillery, Ben, and where do you enjoy it best on the island?
Well, you'll usually find me parked up somewhere with a Third Island gin and water, just straight water out of the tap. It's, you get the full bush flavour that way. I'm probably a bit unique in that sense that I don't really go for tonic too much. I will drink it, but I just like it with water. You'll often find me at the South Sea Hotel on a Friday, and it's a great place to enjoy a Third Island gin, but otherwise just parked up anywhere with a nice view or a warm fire, depending on the weather.
Absolutely. Ben, huge thanks for sharing your journey, for mastering the pot still under the fire and crafting multiple spirits rooted in Rakiura's wild heart. Your story and your dedication to foraging, craft and conservation adds a rich layer to the New Zealand spirit scene. So thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Susie. No, it's nice to chat to you.
Right, listeners, whether you are popping into the South Seas Hotel in Oban or ordering online, be sure to try Rakiura's Third Island Gin and Vodka. And don't miss our next stop in our island series as we hop across the waves to meet another remarkable distillery making magic off the mainland. Until next time, stay curious, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.